Welcome to the Principled Podcast, brought to you by LRN. The Principled Podcast brings together the collective wisdom on ethics, business and compliance, transformative stories of leadership, and inspiring workplace culture. Listen in to discover valuable strategies from our community of business leaders and workplace changemakers.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Season 3 of LRN's Principled Podcast. My name is Ben DiPietro. I'm the editor of LRN's ENC Pulse newsletter. Please find it and subscribe. Today, we're lucky to have with us as a guest, Gabriela Gutierrez, the Chief Compliance Officer for CAP, an extractive company based in Chile. Hello, Gabriela. Thanks for taking time today.
Hello, Ben. Thank you very much for having me.
For folks who don't know, tell us about your career path and how you worked your way to becoming Chief Compliance Officer at CAP. And what made you cultivate an interest in ethics and compliance?
Sure. Well, I actually started over 20 years ago as internal control and compliance officer at an American bank here in Chile when still the compliance function was completely unknown as a role or even from a regulatory perspective. And after that, I moved through different positions in compliance and risk management, all within the banking industry, which meant being in charge of implementation of regional compliance systems and programs, and even to lead from a compliance perspective the opening of a foreign bank in Chile. And the result of each of these previous experiences, I embraced the importance of a wholehearted commitment to a culture of ethics and compliance, both inside and outside the organization. Then, during 2016, I took the role of compliance manager for an Australian mining company. And I would say that this experience was transformative since it not only allowed me to underpin the concept of cross-pollination for compliance principles in different industries, but more importantly, to assess the relevance of ethics and compliance within the extractive companies, given they have a real impact on the communities where they operate. Therefore, adherence to legal, ethical, and sustainability standards relies strongly on the social license to operate, which represents a social responsibility, not only with stakeholders, but also with rights holders. This new dimension of corporate responsibility opened a much deeper understanding of my job as a compliance professional. This is how I came to my current position in June 2019, when I took the corporate challenge of creating an independent compliance function in the Chilean mining company, as you just mentioned, CAP Group, which not only considers the regulatory aspects of an ethics and compliance function, but also the creation, promotion, and implementation of compliance standards based on culture and values.
What does CAP do? What are your goals there as head of the compliance program? How far along are you in implementing those goals, and what still needs to get done?
Well, CAP is a vertically integrated Chilean company in the metals and mining industry, and it develops its activities throughout the whole value chain. The company is based in Santiago, Chile, and has four main businesses, which are the first one, Compañía Minera del Pacífico, an iron ore company developing its mining activities in the third and fourth regions of Chile. The second business is Compañía Siderúrgica Huachipato, a steel production company based in the eighth region of Chile. The third business line is the Steel Processing Group, SPG, based in Santiago, Lima, and Buenos Aires. And the infrastructure business, which includes a desalination plant and port through Chile, owned by CAP and other joint venture partners. In terms of the program, our area was part of legal before. Therefore, we, as compliance or ethics and compliance, are now an independent one and are currently at the implementation stage after the strategic design was applied after several diagnostics through interviews, data analysis, etc. Therefore, a constant consideration of a one-size-fits to a company was held closely through the entire design process. During these phases, permanent involvement of management and the board have been relevant to ascertain the tone at the top. And we're currently entering the operationalizing phase by trickling down to each business unit through an integrity ambassador program that is considered to be rolled out soon. Our integrity code has been updated in a very user-friendly way, and we have implemented a compliance landing page in our intranet, which has been made available to all employees and collaborators through diverse activities to increase engagement and collaboration. Of course, Ben, there's much more to do in the next few 18 months.
Before joining CAP, you worked for BHP as their Latin America CCO. What was that experience like, and how has it informed what you're doing now?
I was the compliance manager for Minerals Americas, which was primarily the mining business that BHP has in Latin America. The experience differs mostly in the maturity curve one company has against the other, considering BHP is a large multinational company and CAP is a smaller Chilean group. Also, the histories are different, shaping and influencing the compliance programs differently. Previous experiences for companies are extremely valuable and allow the integration of the compliance function in a more organic way, is one of the things I have absolutely noted. In opposition, currently, as already mentioned, I'm designing and implementing the compliance program that was previously embedded in other functions here at CAP. And the current challenge is that the tone needs to be articulated in such a way that people understand why there is a different function that has been created and what does it even mean. This in itself is extremely challenging and gratifying in terms of identifying key performance indicators to measure real impact on organizational culture. In big multinational companies, the ethics and compliance programs are more tailor-made, integrated, and consider all the jurisdictions they operate in comparison to local companies that are more recently just right now incorporating these standards. A permanent aspect I consider and probably comes from the experience from one company to the other is the constant consideration and understanding of the business model, risk touch points, and how to develop a fit for purpose ethics and compliance program to adapt to the existing systems and the organizational culture. If this is not tackled appropriately or included from early on, the path to recognize an effective compliance program will be costly and much, much slower.
With operations throughout Latin America, your company needs to be aware of the political landscape throughout the region, which is often changing and a little volatile. With so much change going on, how much risk does regional politics present to you in designing and carrying out your ENC program?
Well, it is very important nowadays that organizations should be aware that they play a more active role in promoting social change as a result of global social demands we're noting in different countries. For example, France with the Yellow Vests movement, Chile, which supposedly was a safe place in Latin American stability and was recently falls into turmoil in other countries in the region. No doubt, if well regarded, such tensions can also bring opportunities to be a more fair society. As compliance professionals, our role should be continue enabling, promoting, and opening the never-ending process of speaking up in the company in order to support the expected conduct, culture, and values. Let us not forget that we impulse trust to strengthen safe spaces to speak up in our companies and promote transparency, integrity, and fairness. This, by the way, needs to be present through the design and implementation of any compliance program, with a very special caveat that the current political landscape in Latin America is continuously evolving and incorporating at a major pace citizens' and rights holder demands. Also, timely political risk analysis can support the exposure of local compliance risks. Through the last few years, and especially in Latin America, the quality of compliance work can be reinforced by incorporating real local insights and nuances by explicitly comprehending how bribery and corruption truly work. More specifically, considering political risks can complement corruption risk assessments with local risk understanding, allowing companies to give focus to more precise red flags, warnings, or any other areas of concern.
Along with political risk, what are some of the other top risks driving ENC programs throughout the region?
I would say that top ENC risks in Latin America are deeply connected to the latest massive corruption scandals, political impacts, and regulatory changes these have originated in a region. To the top of my mind, I have at least three, which I consider relevant in terms of attention. The first one, which was primarily explained in your previous question, Ben, is the rising social awareness influencing different stakeholder demands. No longer should stakeholder demands be focused only on increasing shareholder value. Especially noted after the business roundtable session during last August 2019, and considering social crisis throughout Latin America, actual organizations are expected to do more and also be more encouraged and committed to demand changes. Significant opportunities should result from these changes for companies that not only identify, but also find the way through these new demands. In contrast, not getting it right could actually bring some disastrous consequences to these companies. In second place, challenging business environments and key focus on third-party management. especially after the massive corruption cases in Latin America during the last years, such as Lava Jazz and Aldebrecht, just to mention some. The business environment is more and more challenging as organizations continue to affiliate with third parties such as vendors or business partners, directly or indirectly. Even recent corruption cases, as we know, these relationships have proved to represent additional risks for current companies. Third parties not only may operate within high-risk jurisdictions, but also within weak organization systems, functions, and data, which in return generate risk, financial, reputational damage, along with new compliance challenges. And then I would say, in the third place, intensified regulatory scrutiny, heightened trade control, and market uncertainty defy ongoing risk analysis. Today's businesses operate in environments exposed to major corruption, larger uncertainty, ever-changing regulations, macroeconomic conditions, and geopolitical volatility make it harder to assess and manage organizational risks in an environment where immediate and proactive responses to emerging risks are becoming not only crucial, but common to success.
It's not necessarily a risk, but it's certainly an undertaking for you. How hard is it to enact cultural change in Latin America, given the way people have been acting and doing business there? What have you tried to do so far in this area to impact culture at CAP? How successful have you been? What else would you like to accomplish?
Well, I would say that more than hard, it had to do with permanently being aware of how we can influence culture in Latin America, where relationships are built in trust, confidence, and collaboration. Therefore, a key is presenting us as compliance professionals, as trusted business partners, rather than imposing a whole set of rules, works much better and it captivates the attention of your co-workers. If co-workers or collaborators look at us as a burden, there is a risk of affecting their overall objective of the program. Let's for a moment think in whistleblowing or hotlines and how they are sometimes less used in Latin America, where blowing the whistle can cause high personal costs, mostly when there is a minor legal protection against dismissal, embarrassment, or even other kinds of intimidation. Also, given that culture, as mentioned, is more collaborative than individualistic, that could be difficult in terms of inviting people to use these hotlines. Because of these factors, too, many people are deterred from speaking out, amongst other factors. Based on this, a good way to incentivize cultural change is by bringing all employees and collaborators together under one same message of why a culture of compliance is important, and that employees feel that they and their company will be at an advantage if they reveal an issue than if they do not. Another important factor is to have a clear sense of purpose, with every employee anywhere located or in any business line understanding what the organization stands for and seeing us, compliance professionals, as the trusted partners that can support them find a way towards compliance, even when standards are increasing and increasing. Also, I would say, Ben, that consequently, a precise set of values communicated both internally and externally is a first step, providing a reference point as a cornerstone for the principles according to which the company wishes to conduct its business and by which it would be like to be judged, and known, by the way. Those values need to be echoed over and over at the start of every new policy, survey, or training, or even meeting, so that all rules and guidance are set out in context. We're currently here at CAP building our operationalizing the program stage with this in mind and focusing on the values campaign for the next 18 months. Also, I would say that throughout the construction of the program, we have mindfully recognized local norms. So, for example, for businesses in Peru, the consideration of Peruvian regulation and practices has been crucial, always by showing respect.
Well, we're really excited for you, and we look forward to seeing all the great things you're going to keep doing, and I appreciate your time today. Thank you so much, Gabriella.
Thank you so much for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. The Principled Podcast is brought to you by LRN. At LRN, our mission is to inspire principled performance in global organizations by helping them foster winning, ethical cultures rooted in sustainable values. Please visit us at LRN.com to learn more. And if you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen. And don't forget to leave us a review.